Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Amazon's most profitable business comes under threat from U.S. regulators.
Talks of another major acquisition in luxury retail get underway in Europe.
Huawei sues the FCC in its latest fight with the U.S. government.
And Japan announces major stimulus measures to fight recession.
A deadly shooting at the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard, plus legal scholars argue evidence of impeachable offenses against President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The deal is close where a hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen will become controlling owner of the Mets. Eli Manning is going to start for the Giants in Philadelphia. The Nets won in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are edging higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris up 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 is down about 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.77%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.58%. COMEX gold is little change, down 80 cents at 14.7940 an ounce. The euro, 1.1092 against the dollar. The yen at 108.95. Nathan.
Hey, Karen. We begin this morning with news on the world's largest e-commerce company. Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. antitrust enforcers are broadening their probe of Amazon to include scrutiny of its dominant cloud computing business. Here with the latest is Naomi Nix from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
So we've known for quite some time that the Federal Trade Commission has been looking at Amazon's businesses, specifically its retail business. What Bloomberg is exclusively reporting is that that antitrust scrutiny by the Federal Trade Commission has expanded to include its cloud services division, which makes up the majority of its operating revenue, and it's a significant and one of the strongest parts of Amazon's overall business. So this is a significant development.
Amazon dominates the market for cloud computing. It's number one in the space with an estimated market share as high as 48%. Microsoft is number two with an estimated 16% share. Right now, shares of Amazon are little changed in the pre-market.
And we have talk of another acquisition in luxury retail. Sources tell us Kering has held exploratory talks with Moncler about a potential takeover. Kering owns Gucci and Saint Laurent, while Moncler makes high-end ski jackets. We get more now from Bloomberg's Brian Fowler.
So we're hearing that Kering is still at the exploratory stage, but talks are underway with Moncler. And this, of course, is Kering trying to keep pace with its larger rival, LVMH, which acquired Tiffany earlier this year. The talks continue, but Kering, of course, is going to have to win over Moncler chief Remo Ruffini, who is its biggest shareholder. So we'll have to stay tuned to see how that develops.
A rival between LVMH and Kering has transformed the luxury industry over the past few decades. Shares of Moncler have gained more than 33% this year to reach a market value of about $11 billion. And today, they're up another 10% in Milan.
Tiffany, meanwhile, will be back in the news today when it reports third quarter earnings. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The earnings report may be among Tiffany's last, with the jeweler having agreed last month to a takeover by France's LVMH. The acquisition is expected to close in mid-2020. Investors will be focused on Tiffany's management of integration plans and its prospects for growth, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a third quarter profit of about 80 cents a share, down from $1.12 in the second quarter. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thank you. When it comes to U.S.-China relations, we have a development with Huawei Technologies. The Chinese company is suing the FCC over a decision to ban federal subsidies for purchasing its equipment. Huawei's chief legal officer made that announcement today in Shenzhen.
The FCC's order violates the Constitution, and we have no choice but to seek legal remedy.
The lawsuit is the latest attempt by Huawei to fight U.S. curbs on its networking business.
In Japan today, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced stimulus measures to support growth in the economy. The package amounts to nearly $240 billion of stimulus spread over the coming years in hopes of avoiding recession. Kathy Matsui is vice chair and Japan equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
Some of the trade-related effects on exports are probably going to be somewhat mitigated. We have fiscal stimulus not just here in Japan, but elsewhere in the developed world. And we have monetary policy that's going to stay very, very lax and easy. So assuming that BOJ stays put with zero interest rates, we think that this will be enough to stave off recession.
A draft of the stimulus package seen by Bloomberg says it should boost growth in the Japanese economy by about 1.4 percentage points.
And that move pushed stocks in Asia higher today, with Japan leading the gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities, the yen and bond yields all rose on the announcement, with the Nikkei 225 gaining 0.7%. It was risk on across much of the rest of the region, with shares climbing in Hong Kong, Shanghai and Sydney, although they fell in Seoul. Indian stock markets fluctuated while bond yields spiked after the Reserve Bank of India unexpectedly left interest rates unchanged at 5.15%, defying economist expectations for a quarter point cut. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Oil is holding steady after yesterday's more than 4% gain. We have fresh data showing tighter U.S. stockpiles while OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna. No word on whether they'll make additional cuts to output, but at the very least, they appear ready to extend current cuts. Energy Aspects chief oil analyst Amrita Sen is in Vienna.
OPEC don't even need to deliver additional cuts. The crude market is incredibly tight. You can see that in differentials and backwardation. The problem is the flat price hasn't gone up. And that's to do with fears about demand and, you know, trade wars. I don't think OPEC can do very much to change that, unfortunately. It's just what is driving it.
And checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate crude is little changed at $58.44 a barrel. Brent is up 0.3% or 22 cents to $63.22.
Finally, we have data out of Germany showing factory orders unexpectedly fell in October, suggesting Europe's largest economy is still struggling to overcome a manufacturing slump. Orders fell 0.4%. Estimates called for a gain of 0.4%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. An active-duty sailor whose submarine was docked at Pearl Harbor opened fire on three civilian employees, killing two before taking his own life. Authorities still don't know the motive behind the shooting at the Hawaii base's naval shipyard. Rear Admiral Robert Chadwick is the commander for the Navy in Hawaii.
Don't know any relationships. Obviously, in the shipyard, there's always a mixture of active duty personnel and shipyard workers.
The third civilian employee shot remains hospitalized. Three top legal scholars testified at a congressional House hearing that President Trump's attempts to have Ukraine investigate Democratic rivals are grounds for impeachment. Professor Pamela Carlin of Stanford University.
Contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son baron, he can't make him a baron.
That brought a rebuke from Republicans for using baron's name, including First Lady Melania Trump. The professor later apologized. A fourth expert called by Republicans warned against rushing the process. Meanwhile, Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked behind closed doors whether House Democrats are willing to take the next step. According to those present, when asked, "Are you ready?" there was a resounding yes. Democratic presidential candidate Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to enact a wealth tax to pay for some of her proposed large government programs. She sat down with Bloomberg News in a wide-ranging interview, saying that a wealth tax can level the playing field.
What I care about is an economy that works not just for the billionaires and millionaires, but an economy that works for everyone.
Warren says for now, the country, economy, and democracy are working great for the super wealthy.
And that's why I'm so concerned about Michael Bloomberg jumping into this race, dropping $37 million in 1 week on ad buys. I don't believe that elections ought to be for sale.
Michael Bloomberg is also seeking the Democratic presidential nomination. Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. New Yorkers have one less potential transit delay to worry about. The union representing MTA workers reached a tentative contract with the city's transit provider. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Fred Wilpon has been part of Mets ownership since the early 1980s, first as co-owner with Nelson Doubleday, but soon after that he gained controlling interest. He's had that for decades, but apparently that is going to change. A deal is close where in the next 5 years, hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen, already a minority owner, will gain up to an 80% interest in the Mets, although Fred and his son Jeff Wilpon will remain as CEO and COO of the team. Zach Wheeler has officially left the Mets. Free agent, he signed with the Phillies. Speaking of Philly, when the Giants go there Monday night, Eli Manning will be the starting quarterback. Daniel Jones last Sunday was playing with what turned out to be a high ankle sprain. So Eli returned to the job he had for 16 years.
Business as usual, you know, get the game plan, you know, start prepping from Philly, you know, going against a good defense, but also a defense we faced a number of years and know them well. And so just got to, you know, just get back into the mix with the offensive line and receivers and you know, make sure timing's where it needs to be.
Jet safety Jamal Adams also with a high ankle sprain, so Jets unlikely to have their best defensive player when they go Sunday against Miami at MetLife. The game tonight is Dallas at Chicago, both teams 6-6. For the Cowboys, that's still good enough for first place in the NFC East. The Nets, again led by Spencer Dinwiddie, for the injured Kyrie Irving with a win in Atlanta, 130-118. Knicks are home tonight for the Denver Nuggets. College basketball last night saw Iona fall to UConn. In the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Virginia lost badly to Purdue. Ohio State beat North Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks a lot. Futures pointing to a higher open once again this morning on Wall Street, with S&P futures higher by 7 points. Dow futures a gain of 67. NASDAQ futures are higher by almost 22 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we look ahead to the November jobs report and the health of the U.S. economy, with trade uncertainty remaining at the fore. We speak with Wilmington Trust Chief Economist Luke Tilley on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are edging higher along with U.S. stock index futures after a mostly positive session in Asia, as investors weigh the prospects of the U.S. removing a scheduled tariff hike on Chinese imports in 10 days. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7 points, Dow futures up 63, NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.77%, yield on the 2-year 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents at $58.34 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 90 cents at $14.79.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1086 against the dollar, British pound 1.3126, and the yen 108.95. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the trade balance. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index and a 10 factory orders and durable goods orders. And today we're looking for earnings from companies including Tiffany and Kroger. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Thank you very much, Karen. Good morning. Two victims plus the gunman are dead after a shooting on Naval Base Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The gunman was part of a submarine crew. The motive for the shooting and the shooter's connection to his victims are not clear. A trio of legal scholars supporting the Democrats' case argued at the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing that President Trump's conduct was evidence of impeachable offenses. Republicans say the president did not violate his oath of office. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Celtics. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals won. And finally, the New York Mets are in talks to sell 80% of the team to billionaire Steve Cohen. Bloomberg Business of Sports co-host Scott Soschnick reports the deal being discussed will put Cohen in control of the team in 5 years and values the Mets at $2.6 billion. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we look ahead to the release of the November jobs report tomorrow, we're joined by Luke Tilley, chief economist at Wilmington Trust Corporation. Good to have you on with us this morning, Luke. I'm curious to get your take on the overall U.S. economy this morning and some of the latest data we've seen showing perhaps signs of contraction in manufacturing, but services continuing to hold up in the latest PMI data. Do you see that continuing as we head into and through 2020?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. I think that we will see a continuation of that. And key to this is what happens with the U.S. and China with their trade expectations. So I don't think anybody should be surprised by the manufacturing sector that ISM PMI has been negative for 4 months now. And that really comes from the trade and tariffs hitting both directly in the manufacturing sector, but also really hitting business confidence. And that's what's really hurt the manufacturing sector. As you said, the services sector is holding up, but it's also at its weakest point since that second round of tariffs went in last year, August and September of last year. So what we think about at Wilmington Trust going forward is if we were to get another round of tariffs on December 15th, which would fall predominantly on the consumer, that could really take the legs out from underneath the service economy that we're seeing. So we expect that continuation. We don't expect those tariffs to go in. We expect that the president will punt those like he did on October 15th. And all of that really ties back to the jobs report that you mentioned that we're going to see tomorrow. CEOs have not been hiring nearly as much. Demand for labor has really fallen off, too, and that's going to play into tomorrow's report.
Yeah, and we saw the ADP report coming in weaker than expected yesterday. How does that set us up for what we could see from the Labor Department tomorrow?
Yeah, so the two surveys don't track really well together on a month-over-month basis. It does bring some downside risk, I think, to tomorrow's report. But really, tomorrow's report is going to be a lot of hand-wringing about the GM strike. So what that is going to do, we had the GM strike pull the numbers down in last month's report by anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50,000. It's really hard to decipher getting from the actual number of people who had struck to the seasonally adjusted number that came out. So what we're expecting to see is a little bit of a bounce in the numbers relative to last month, about 140,000 jobs. But that's masking a broader slowdown that we've seen in the labor market. So even if we get that 140, when you net out that effect from GM, what we see is a labor market that is slowing down because the unemployment rate is so low, it's so hard for companies to find workers, but also that reduced demand for workers that I was talking about. If you look at the number of job openings in the economy, they're down by almost 370,000 from a year ago, and that's the most severe drop that we've had since 2010. So that's another thing that I think we need to be paying a lot of attention to is how much do firms actually want to be hiring right now.
We just had a survey come out from Bloomberg News of economists forecasting the Fed rate outlook. The median response was the Fed doesn't make a move until the end of 2021. At the same time, the Fed funds futures are pointing to the possibility of a cut by June. What's the disconnect?
So I think the bond market is always a little bit more pessimistic. It's worth looking back to even when the Fed was hiking from roughly end of 2015 to the middle of last year and early this year, that the bond market and the futures never thought the Fed was going to hike again. It was always sort of flat from wherever you were. So there's always sort of a disconnect between what the economists are saying, what the Fed is saying, and what the market is saying. All that the same, I really think it ties back to how the economy does, whether these tariffs come in. And I think the Fed has been fairly explicit, not just Chairman Powell, but other members who have been giving speeches. And they say that they think the Fed is in a good place right now. We believe that to be the case, too, for the next 6 to 9 months. I wouldn't be as so bold as to say I think that they're on hold until the end of 2021. But we think definitely 12 months forward. And that, of course, gets you right around to election time. We're pretty comfortable saying that unless there's a material change in the economy, that they're on hold for 9 to 12 months from here.
So you're thinking they stay on hold at least through the election just quickly?
Yeah, I mean, the Fed is not political, but they also don't want to start a rate hike cycle right before the election. They don't want to draw that kind of attention to them. And frankly, we don't think inflation is going to move quickly enough for them to want to do it.
Luke Tilley, good speaking with you this morning. That's Luke Tilley, chief economist at Wilmington Trust Corporation. And you can check the Fed funds futures on the Fed rates by typing WIRPGO on the Bloomberg terminal to check the probability of interest rate moves. Right now, futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's Donor Advised Fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Trade optimism is lifting U.S. futures once again, a day after the S&P 500 gained 0.6%. A scheduled tariff hike on Chinese imports is just 10 days away. And China says officials are in, quote, close contact with U.S. counterparts on trade negotiations.
We have news this morning on the world's largest e-commerce company. Bloomberg News has learned a probe into Amazon is widening to include one of its most profitable businesses. We get details from Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Sources say antitrust enforcers are now broadening their scrutiny of Amazon beyond its retail operations and into its massive cloud computing business. Investigators at the Federal Trade Commission have been asking software companies about their practices around the unit. Amazon's AWS dominates the market for foundational cloud computing technology, and Amazon's operations are several times bigger than the next largest competitor, which is Microsoft. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Denise, thank you. On the M&A front, Bloomberg News has learned that Kering has held exploratory talks with Italian skiwear maker Moncler. Kering owns Gucci and Saint Laurent, while Moncler makes high-end ski jackets.
Huawei Technologies is suing the FCC over a decision to ban federal subsidies for purchasing its equipment. The Chinese company says it wasn't accorded due process and was unfairly labeled a national security threat.
In Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced stimulus measures today. The package amounts to nearly $240 billion of stimulus spread over the coming years. Here with more is Bloomberg's Brian Fowler in Tokyo.
The numbers are a little bit bigger than what the market was expecting. On the other hand, the actual fiscal injection would be quite a bit less than the headline number, less than half. Although Bloomberg Economics expects the fiscal stimulus to at least prevent a recession, probably not keep the economy from slowing next year as exporters continue to contend with the disruption from trade friction.
According to a draft of the stimulus package seen by Bloomberg, it should boost growth in the Japanese economy by about 1.4 percentage points.
Oil is holding steady after yesterday's more than 4% gain. We have fresh data showing tighter U.S. stockpiles while OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna. No word on whether they'll make additional cuts to output, but at the very least, they appear ready to extend current cuts. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude is little changed, down 3 cents, $58.40 a barrel, while Brent is higher by 0.3% or 18 cents to $63.18.
And S&P futures are higher, up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.78%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Two victims plus a gunman are dead after a shooting on Naval Base Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The gunman was part of a submarine crew. Rear Admiral Robert Chadwick says the gunman shot Department of Defense civilian employees and then shot and killed himself.
I can confirm that there were three shooting victims. We have confirmed that two are deceased. One is in stable condition in a local hospital.
The motive for the shooting and the shooter's connection to his victims are not clear. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is defending her plan to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans to pay for a slate of domestic programs. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll reports.
As one of the most liberal Democrats running for president, whose proposals would require trillions in tax revenues, Elizabeth Warren feels she has to remind voters,
I believe in capitalism.
But in a Bloomberg TV interview, she says markets without rules are theft. The U.S. economy, says Warren, works better for the rich and big corporations. Her solution's a 2% wealth tax on assets over $50 million.
Everybody's supposed to pay a fair share on taxes so we can reinvest it in opportunity.
Warren's proposed about $30 trillion in new taxes to pay for her spending plans. Most of her Democratic rivals are proposing far less. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A trio of legal scholars argued at the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing that President Trump's unprecedented conduct was evidence of impeachable offenses. Judiciary Committee Chairman, New York Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler, says the actions of President Trump in regards to his handling of Ukraine put himself above the nation.
President Trump placed his own personal and political interests above our national interests, above the security of our country, and most importantly, above our most precious right, the ability of each and every one of us to participate in fair elections, free of corruption.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan says President Trump didn't violate his oath of office, and the American people have had enough of investigation after investigation.
He didn't say, I would like you to do me a favor, though, because I have been through a lot. He said, I want you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. You know what this call, when this call happened? Happened the day after Mueller was in front of this committee. Of course, our country was put through 2 years of this.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Steve Cohen grew up on Long Island, big Mets fan. Looks like the hedge fund billionaire is going to become the owner of the team. He's already a minority owner, but a deal said to be close where Cohen, within the next 5 years, will gain an 80% interest in a team that has been valued at a record $2.6 billion. Fred Wilpon has been a Mets owner since the early 1980s, at times tight-fisted. Wilpon was a Bernie Madoff victim. He has not been exactly well-liked by Mets fans. As expected, Zach Wheeler has left the Mets, but they'll see him often. He signed with the Phillies, 5 years, $118 million. 2 months ago, Eli Manning lost the job he had for 16 years, but Monday night in Philadelphia, he is getting it back. The Giants' rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones, has a high ankle sprain, so Eli returns after what's been an adjustment to being the backup.
It is difficult, you know, especially when you've been the starter for so long and you're not really accustomed to, you know, preparing and not putting it to use in that sense. And so just having a lot of experience and knowing the offense and knowing I could, you know, pop in there and be ready to go.
He'll try and help the Giants end an 8-game losing streak. The Jets will be without their best defensive player Sunday against Miami. Jamal Adams has a high ankle sprain. The Cowboys have been struggling, yet are somehow still in first place in the NFC East. They'll play tonight in Chicago. The Nets move back over 500, a 130-118 win in Atlanta. The Knicks are home tonight for Denver. College basketball, battle of top 10 teams. Ohio State beat North Carolina. Also Purdue over fourth-ranked Virginia by 29. UConn won by 18 over Iona. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Google at War, how the company is fighting with employees over doing business with the government. Also in this week's issue, the CEO of Amtrak's new plan for profitability, Devin Leonard, wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
So what he wants to do is, instead of running trains that go these long distances that would be much easier to fly and cheaper at this point, he wants to segment the route. So, for instance, there'll be more trains in between, say, Atlanta and Charlotte, these sort of urban centers that need service. And because the routes aren't as long, there won't be as many opportunities for delay. That's his vision. It's a really interesting idea.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. New Jersey's cap on annual property tax increases was supposed to control the highest bills among U.S. states. It may not have worked. In fact, it may have worked too well. About 200 school districts this year lost a total of $281 million in state aid. A couple of lawmakers are writing legislation to try to lift the cap. to save some of the toughest-hit schools. Business owners in New Jersey report growth rates slowed for annual profits, sales, and purchases in 2019. Most say the outlook for the state's economy is at its lowest in a decade. Well, those paper cash register receipts may be going away. New York City Council members proposing laws requiring merchants to instead offer shoppers emailed receipts or receipts not coated with BPA, which is suspected of causing health problems. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about what may be one of the final quarterly reports from an independent Tiffany & Company.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. General Motors is starting a joint venture to build batteries for electric cars.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on M&G suspending dealings in its property portfolio.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Fiat Chrysler will pay $29,500 in wage hikes and bonuses to the typical worker over the next 4 years.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're going to be following throughout the morning here. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to make a statement on the status of the impeachment inquiry at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. That headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal a day after the first public impeachment hearing before the House Judiciary Committee. S&P futures higher by almost 12 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures a gain of 37 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are rising along with European and Asian shares as investors weigh the prospects of the U.S. removing a scheduled tariff hike on Chinese imports in 10 days. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.78%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 7 cents at $58.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.10 to $14.79.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1090 against the dollar. The yen at 108.97. And today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the trade balance. 9:45, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and at 10, factory orders and durable goods orders. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, three leading legal scholars testified at a congressional House hearing that President Trump's attempts to have Ukraine investigate Democratic rivals are grounds for impeachment. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to make a statement on the status of the impeachment inquiry at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. Three people are dead, including the gunman, after a shooting at Pearl Harbor Shipyard. A third victim shot is in stable condition. Authorities say the gunman, a sailor, shot himself. The victims were civilian workers. In the NBA, the Nets won, along with the Celtics. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Capitals won. And finally, the New York Mets are in talks to sell 80% of the team to billionaire Steve Cohen. Bloomberg Business of Sports co-host Scott Soschnick reports the deal being discussed would put Cohen in control of the team in 5 years and values the Mets at $2.6 billion. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Bobby Ghosh joins us from our London studios on this week's NATO meeting that just wrapped up in London. Billed as a celebration of the 70th anniversary of the alliance, Bobby, but definitely quite a few signs on display that that alliance may be fraying to some extent.
Definitely, Nathan. This was meant to be a celebration, but the mood was quite dark. It's been clear for a few years that NATO has lost its way a little bit. That process seems to have accelerated in the last couple of years. And it's no longer just Donald Trump who's questioning NATO's very existence. You have the president of France, Emmanuel Macron. You have the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. All three of them feuding in London, before London. And it's not looking good. It was not a happy birthday for NATO.
Yeah, it certainly didn't seem that way, although it was interesting to hear President Trump criticize Macron at the beginning of the summit for those brain death comments, calling that nasty. Although, as you point out, it has been kind of in line with what the president has had to say about NATO in the past. Is the president sort of changing his tune to some extent about how he sees NATO as an organization?
Well, there was a lot of excitement about that comment because in the past, the president has criticized NATO, and to hear him defend NATO against the comments of Macron gave a lot of NATO hands something to look forward to and some hope that perhaps he'd change his mind. But he really hadn't. All he was looking for was a stick to beat Macron with. Pretty soon he went back, the president did, to his usual skepticism about NATO. He complained that members were not ponying up their share of the defense budget, and he was threatening those who didn't with trade retaliation. It's not, and he was also basically, he had an opportunity to uphold NATO's basic tenet that an attack on any one of the members is an attack on all the members. He refused to go there. It's Trump. You know, one day he will say something and the other day he'll say something else. This time he came to London with, as I say in my column, a pea shooter. Next time he might come with a flamethrower.
Yeah, it was interesting to certainly watch Presidents Trump and Macron sitting together and the president of the United States, you know, focusing so much at this summit about defense spending, member nations reaching that 2% benchmark, and Macron saying that the alliance is about more than just meeting defense spending commitments. I mean, it speaks a lot to just the basic idea of, you know, what the purpose of NATO is.
Exactly right. NATO was set up to protect the West, particularly Europe, from Russia. Right now, you have a lot of NATO members who don't even agree that there is a threat from Russia. There's a lot of mission creep going on. There's a lot of talk of NATO now being a counterterrorism organization or taking on cyber threats or taking on the Chinese. The thing is, there's not agreement on any of those things either. The members don't even agree who or what represents a terrorist. And there's a bigger point to be made here, which is that just because NATO worked for decades against the threat from Russia and the Soviet Union before it doesn't mean it's good for counterterrorism. You know, a great hammer is no use when you need to tighten a screw.
Just about 30 seconds left here. What's it going to take for NATO to confront the threats that you see, just quickly?
American leadership, great American leadership, an American leader who believes in NATO. We didn't see that in London this week.
Bloomberg opinion columnist Bobby Ghosh with us from London. Bobby, thank you as always. Read Bobby Ghosh's column. Donald Trump is the least of NATO's problems is what its headline. And more from Bloomberg opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the terminal type OPIN. Go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee want a floor vote before the end of the year on a bill to ease the cap on deductions for state and local taxes. Home Depot could rake in as much as $20 million of Tracy, California's future sales tax collection that's putting a new warehouse distribution center in the town. That deal done just weeks before the start of a new state law requiring wider disclosure of those kinds of arrangements. And Grammy Award winner Jason Mraz is suing MillerCoors for copyright infringement. He says the company misappropriated his I'm Yours song, as well as his voice and image in an Instagram ad.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching is President Trump's next stop in his fight to keep his finances private. The case could now head to the Supreme Court after an appeals court ordered two banks to give the president's financial records to Congress. For more on this development, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Neil Kinkoff, a professor at Georgia State University College of Law.
This is the third appellate court ruling against Trump with regard to his financial records. The D.C. appellate court upheld the validity of a congressional subpoena for Trump's financial records, and the Second Circuit, another panel, upheld the validity of a subpoena from the New York District Attorney. Is the reasoning in all these cases similar?
Yes, very similar. I mean, the consistent theme is Congress has a legitimate oversight and investigation role that all of us have to comply with subpoenas that Congress issues when they act within those roles, and that the president is not above the law. And those themes have come out in each and every one of those opinions and have driven them. And in fact, these have all been really easy cases. Right? The president has made arguments that the courts shouldn't countenance and that the courts have unanimously and repeatedly not countenanced.
So now the only avenue left seems to be the Supreme Court, and there are the two other cases already at the Supreme Court as Donald Trump asked the court to hear them. And this case may end up there as well. Is the court likely to grant cert in these cases?
Yes, the court is likely to grant cert in these cases. These cases involve questions of executive privilege, and the Supreme Court has only rarely spoken to those questions. They also involve questions relating to the scope of Congress's power to conduct investigations and oversight. And because that power has been just so broadly assumed for so many decades and even centuries, there's actually very little case law out there where parties have questioned it. So there's not an awful lot on these questions in the U.S. reports, the reports of Supreme Court opinions. These should be easy cases, but I note that the composition of the Supreme Court right now is such that there is a majority of justices who have real experience as executive power advocates. And so it is entirely possible that while these should be easy wins for Congress, the justices on the Supreme Court may take a different and divergent view, one that diverges from the commonly held historical understanding of Congress's power.
And that's Georgia State University law professor Neil Kinkoff speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are up 11 points this morning. Dow futures up 104 and NASDAQ futures up 35. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 1.78% and the yield on the 2-year 1.57%. The euro 1.1088 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.